Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now why did the apostles ask Jesus to increase their faith? I think there's actually a simple explanation for this. The apostles were starting to understand very clearly that following Jesus was going to be quite difficult. The stakes were being raised for what it means to follow Jesus as they were learning more about his teaching, this call to discipleship, and they're realizing we don't have the resources in ourselves to follow you, Jesus. We need help. We need increased faith. So, Jesus, increase our faith. Add to our faith. What Jesus calls the apostles to, what he calls us to, is what Scripture says in another place, is to walk by faith and not by sight. If we walk by sight, if we only act when we can perfectly predict what will happen, when we can see the way before us, if we only play it safe, aren't willing to take any risk, then it's well-nigh impossible to follow Jesus. And the disciples are really starting to get this. So they ask for help. Jesus, increase our faith so that we can follow you faithfully. Jesus calls us to a life in this world that is counterintuitive. At first, it doesn't often seem to make sense. And he calls us to a life from the world to come that we cannot see. So what is the key to living this life that Jesus has called us to? I mean, at its root, at its foundation, what is it that we need to follow Jesus? We could add lots of things to that list, I'm sure. But at base level is faith. We need faith. It is the Christian faith, after all. Jesus calls us to this life of faith. It's simple and it's hard. It's free and it's costly. But at the core of following Jesus, and this thing that the disciples ask for, that we know we need more of, is faith. Now, what is faith? Scripture defines it for us in a couple of different places. One place in Hebrews, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is also, by some of the great theologians in the church, considered the first of the theological virtues, the other two, hope and charity. But the first is faith. It's at the head. It's at the foundation. Thomas Aquinas asked a question in his great work, the Summa, whether faith can be greater in one person or another. Can we even talk about the size or quantity of faith? Because isn't faith something you either have or you don't have? And isn't what's most important the object of your faith, not the size of your faith? So he explores this question, and Aquinas answers with Scripture, with the Bible. The Bible shows us, yes, the object of our faith, the triune God, as he has revealed himself, is one and the same. God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we do change. And the circumstances around us are always changing and unpredictable. Some changes we can kind of predict, right? We're going to get older, for example, and all that that entails. Some changes we can't predict. And these are the things that come our way that make life hard and challenging. You can't predict cancer. You can't predict that you're going to make a foolish decision next week that's going to have significant impact on your life and those around you. God doesn't change. We do change, for good and for bad. Life around us, the world around us, is constantly changing. Culture is constantly changing. God does not change. The object of our faith does not change, but we do change. And it's in this changing world, these changing circumstances, where we call out desperately, increase our faith. We need faith. We need more faith and increasing faith in this ever-changing world. So it turns out here, what the disciples are getting is that faith is quite dynamic. At one point, you maybe remember this in the Gospels, Jesus calls out Peter, "O you of little faith." Why did you doubt, Peter? You had some faith, but it was little, and you fell in the water. Why did you doubt in that moment? In another place, he tells a Canaanite woman, "Great is your faith." In another place, he commends a centurion who boldly believed that Jesus could come and radically change his circumstances. He says, "Not even in Israel have I found faith like this." He's commending the quality, and maybe if we can say that, the quantity of faith in these individuals. Faith can be little, it can be great. So do you see how dynamic faith is? And how important it is that we give attention to this? Because your faith, my faith, it's either getting weaker or it's getting stronger. It's either growing and maturing or it's atrophying. We must give attention to our faith. So how is your faith this morning? Where is your faith this morning? Sure, circumstances around you are changing. Things might feel like completely out of control, but where is your faith? Is it growing? Is it being nurtured? Or is it atrophying? It's a really important question for you to consider this morning, and for me to consider as well, so that we can be in this position of the disciples, of calling out to the one who can actually do something about our faith that is subject to getting weaker and weaker, increase our faith, make our faith stronger. Faith is incredibly dynamic. It needs attention. It needs help. It needs grace from the Lord so that our faith can grow and mature. There are moments, poignant moments, and it's often during those really difficult circumstances that we're going through when we feel the weakness of our faith. We feel the insufficiency of our faith. And let me suggest, that can be a really good place to be. But how do you respond to it? Because these moments of weakness, these moments where we feel like our resources have been completely spent, it's in that place where we realize we can only get by the grace that comes from outside of us, namely the grace that comes from the Lord. It's the faith that we don't have that has to be given to us again, maybe. Faith given to us so that we can keep on going and following the Lord. Faith that can be increased and nurtured. The apostles ask for increased faith. There's great power in faith. The apostles, the 12, in another place, they ask Jesus. They realize we're probably going to need to know how to pray if we're going to do this thing well. So Jesus, teach us to pray. And he does, right? He gives us the Lord's Prayer. And here it's like, we know we're going to need more faith if we're going to follow Christ the way that he calls us to. So increase our faith. So here they ask for that. Some have seen the first 10 verses of Luke chapter 17 as kind of jumbled, scattered sayings of Jesus that Luke or, an editor kind of cobbled together. But I think that these are very much connected. Those first four verses here, Jesus is teaching about the call of discipleship. It's not always going to be easy. And there are warnings he gives, warnings especially to those who are in positions of authority, positions of leadership, those who are going to be teachers, like the apostles. Look, don't be the one. You do not be the one to cause the faith of a little one. Here, I think, is understood not necessarily of like children, but those who are young in their faith, as it were. Those whose faith is just like a little tiny seed. You don't be the one to cause that person to stumble in their faith. There's great judgment if you do. Jesus talks about the importance of driving out sin in the community. Confrontation. Confront your brother who sins, he says. But if he repents, forgive him again and again and again. This added to all the other things Jesus is teaching the disciples, they're realizing the challenge of this call. And they're going to need faith in the Lord Jesus, an increasing faith. They're hearing Jesus raise the stakes about what it means to follow him. And if we hear the call of discipleship too, we will continually, if we're honest with ourselves, realize I lack the internal resources to follow Christ. Maybe, you know, it's like, sure, we all have different natural abilities, and we may be persuasive, dynamic, smart, good at sports, whatever the case may be. But what we really need to follow Christ, we realize it's got to come from the outside. I need divine intervention, divine help. And this is, I think, where Jesus wants us, so that we can call out him, increase my faith. This is how we face not only the challenges of discipleship, as I think is in the context here for the apostles, but also the challenges of suffering and uncertainty. Our Old Testament lesson, it situates us in a moment of great uncertainty for God's people. God is raising up the Babylonians to be an instrument of his judgment, coming to his own people who have strayed from him. The word is, calamity is coming. But then we hear this word, a phrase that's picked up by the New Testament writers to talk about the importance of faith. But the righteous will live by faith. That faith in the coming calamity of the Chaldeans, the faith in the coming calamity of whatever it is that is coming our way, this is a settled trust in a faithful God. The just will have this faith in God, and they'll be able to live differently because they have that faith in God. And this is the power of faith. With faith, we can do things that we would not have done without faith. With faith, we can do things that we would not have done without faith. I asked my kids a couple days ago, what's something that we've done as a family that required faith? You know, always testing sermon illustrations with kids, and they always give the best ones. And my oldest, Eleanor, replied, moving to Virginia. I'm like, you know what, that's a great example. Because 8 years ago, or 9 years ago almost now, we moved here with a wonderful small group of people. Many of you are still here. With no guarantees this thing would work out. No guarantees this thing would take. And it wasn't our own internal resources. I think that was a moment where God gave us just enough faith that we needed to make that next move without having to know what was coming next and coming next and coming next. He gave us just what we needed to push us to take that risk. There's great power in faith, that gift that God gives us to do things we would not have done had we not had faith. And God gives us faith. He gives faith to those who ask for it. I'm sure you can think of examples in your own life when you needed faith and God gave you just enough faith that you needed to do the next thing. And you can look back and give praise to him for that. Give thanks to him. And you look back and you don't like pat yourself on the back. You're like, my goodness, that was the Lord. That wasn't me. That was the Lord giving us the gift that only he can give. Faith is tapping in to divine power, the gifts that God gives. Jesus here, so the disciples ask, increase our faith, Lord. Jesus doesn't immediately kind of answer their request. Rather, Jesus gives them a picture. What? A picture of the power of faith. To put this vision before you. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, I think that's kind of funny, like this image of a tree, you know, like the trees moving in Lord of the Rings or something, you know, going and, what is Jesus trying to say here? Well, one, I think there's a very simple point, right, with the mustard seed. This comes up in another place in the Gospels. A mustard seed's small. With just a small smidgen of faith, great things can happen. The mulberry tree apparently has a complicated root system, doesn't easily come out of the ground, and doesn't plant itself in water. You don't plant trees in water. It's impossible, right? And that's the point of Jesus using that image, I think. But because nothing is possible with God, here is the power of faith. Jesus is not saying, if you have faith, you can do cool magic tricks. like cause trees to get up and walk around and go plant in water. That's clearly not what Jesus is saying. He is saying that with just a little bit of faith, you can follow him into even the most difficult, impossible circumstances, and he will see you through it if you use and respond to him with the faith that he has given you. I think that is what Jesus is getting at here about the power of faith. So we need a maturing, growing faith. We want our faith to increase. So how does this happen exactly? I think our epistle lesson gives some direction for us as we consider what it looks like for our faith to mature and to grow. Because one way that our faith matures and grows is by remembering. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul, by the way, if you look at his letters, the opening of his letters especially, he's always remembering. I'm reminded. I'm remembering you in my prayers. And here, I love this. He says, I'm reminded, so talking to Timothy, of your sincere faith. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy. And then he helps Timothy remember how this faith came to him. It's a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice and now dwells in you. Remember, Timothy, how this faith that you're having to rely on, that I'm sure you want to increase, to do all the things that are in front of you. Remember, Timothy, how this faith came to you. Its gift, its grace through and through, came to your grandmother, who at one point faithfully responded to the Lord. And your mother, who faithfully responded to the Lord. And now it's come to you, who in the present, you are faithfully responding to the Lord. Remember this legacy of faith, how it came to you. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, remember when you first believed. Now, some of you have had the privilege of growing up in the church and never knowing a day apart from the Lord. But kids, young people, there's going to be a time, if it hasn't happened already, where you're going to be like, I believe in Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing when that faith becomes your own. That little smidgen, little seed of faith, saving faith as we call it, that saving faith takes root in your heart, and now that faith is to be nurtured for the rest of your life so that saving faith becomes a sustaining faith for you. Remember, though, this gift of faith that has been given to you, whether it came through your grandma Lois and your mom Eunice, or whether it just came through being a part of a wonderful Christian community, or it came through a dramatic conversion. However that faith came to you, would you remember it and continually be reminded of it and give thanks to God for that gift of faith that he has given you, so that that gift of faith can be sustained and nurtured and, God willing, increase as you seek to faithfully follow him. Paul celebrates with Timothy this faith. Remember, Timothy, this faith that has come to you. Don't forget where it came from. And then he goes on to tell Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God. Now here he's talking specifically about what we might call ordination, the gift of God that came to you through the laying on of hands. But you see how he connects it back with the gift of faith that was given to him through his mother and grandmother. And I think that image of fanning the flame of faith is really poignant, because you might feel like your faith right now is just a tiny little flicker. Tiny flicker. And maybe you fear it could go out. Fan that little flame. What do you do? What do you do with a fire? You're trying to get going. Some of you may just pour gasoline on it. You know, you cheat. That's not how you get a fire going. You can. But you fan it. You nurture it. You have to tend to it. It takes some care. It takes some attention. It's not just automatic that fire is going to start, right? You give attention to it. You fan that small flame so that it becomes a raging fire. You know, would that we would all be fanning the flame of faith in our life so that it would be a fire of faith spreading. So our faith, it grows by remembering, but also our faith grows through obedience, through living faithfully, just doing the things, as they say. Faith, like our salvation, again, it's a free gift. But our faith, because it is living, it's meant to continually be responding to the Lord. Remember, faith is not static, it's dynamic. And I think this helps us understand this parable of the unworthy servants in verses 7 through 10. I have to admit, I kind of struggled with what to think of this parable. Maybe some of you will have some comments and ideas after the service. You can help me out a bit. But I think there's a way in which it relates to Jesus, or the disciples asking Jesus, rather, to increase their faith. The whole point of this parable is that the servants are supposed to do what is required of them. You know, if your kids do their chores, they're supposed to do that, right? You know, it's nice to praise your kids, but like, you know, do you want a thank you? You know, do you want a cookie? You're supposed to do that, right? That's what you're supposed to do. Why do you want all this like extra praise? And just, this is what you're supposed to do. This is just ordinary, everyday faithfulness, faithful service. Jesus, I think, tells us this parable to show us the posture of faithful service. So verse 10, he says this: "So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" That's the posture of a servant of Jesus. We've done, Lord, again, by the resources you have given us, of course, we have done what is commanded. Faithfulness, it looks like waiting on tables, not expecting special praise. It looks like taking the posture of a humble servant. And of course, Jesus is the one who models this perfectly for us. I think this parable is highlighting something for us about the ordinary nature of so much of the Christian life. Ordinary obedience. Just doing the simple things day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. The simple things. The 95% of life, faithfully doing those things in service to the Lord. The ordinary obedience. And I think there's a lesson in that, about how in that ordinary obedience, our faith increases and grows over time. Sure, we're sometimes called to step out in faith and to be stretched in moments in our lives to make a big decision, something like a move, job change, financial decision, whatever. There are those moments, right? But those actually, on the whole, are pretty unique. Most of life is lived in this ordinary space of everyday obedience. And that is where faith is cultivated, where our faith can increase. Most of the times, we're just required to do the ordinary, simple things. Love God. Love your neighbor. It's not technically a command, but it's derived from Scripture. You know, don't be a jerk. You know? Keep the simple commands of the Bible. And you look back. Wow. I mean, I didn't really know that my faith has increased, but over time, I think by God's grace, it has. Faithfulness, in other words, increases our faith. And this is why some of the great theologians have called faith a habit. Faith is a habit that we are to form and to hone, but always focusing our faith on the triune God, Going back to Thomas Aquinas, again, who had much to say about faith, it is a supernatural virtue because faith is a supernatural gift. We cannot find happiness, true happiness. We cannot find true happiness by means of our own resources. Supernatural happiness, eternal joy, is found in God alone. And only God can give us the gifts we need to find and access and grow into that happiness. And at the foundation of all those gifts is the gift of faith, to which we are welcome to increase in that faith, to grow in that faith, so that we can increase in the eternal happiness, which is found only in the triune God. And if we are going to increase in our happiness in God, then we have to receive a greater measure of the gifts that He is ready to keep bestowing on us and giving us. God is the object of our increasing faith. God is the giver of the gift of our faith. And God has revealed to us this faith that we need. He's revealed all this to us in His Word. So we would all probably, I hope, say today, yes, please, increase my faith, Lord. But I want you to think about exactly where you need that increased faith. Sure, you know, a general measure of increased faith is great. You know, kind of like a faith multivitamin, just to kind of like hit everything, right? But think precisely. Because for me, there's going to be an area that pops your mind immediately. Where do I need increased faith? Where am I tempted to cling tightly, rely on my own resources, where I'm not willing to take any risk, because I'm incredibly fearful? What area is it for you right now where you need increased faith? Our Lord is a good father who loves to give good gifts to His children. He loves, for example, to give the gift of the Holy Spirit, an increased experience encounter with the Spirit. He loves to give the gift of prayer, and He loves to give the gift of faith. So in that area, will you ask Him right now, Lord, I can't do this in my own resources, on my own. I need You to give me the gift that only You can give me, an increased faith. Would You do that? And would You trust that He will do that in full measure? And that you'll be able to look back years from now, like, wow, the Lord actually brought me through that. There was a point when I thought I was not going to get through that, and He gave me the faith that I needed to get through that. Will you trust Him for that? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.